بكل وقت وحين يا ربنا ولك الحمد وإلى شرف النبي الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين
آمين الرحمن الرحيم.
بارك الله فيكم. بسم الله. So subhanAllah, we've talked a lot about light. Shaykh Hamdi talked a lot about the light of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this light that lights up the whole universe, that is everywhere. Everywhere that you see goodness, it's coming from that light of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And light has been a theme since we arrived here in Stockholm. We've noticed, of course, that it gets dark early. And then we were walking last night after being in the masjid and walking by all these stores with many lamps in them and stores that are dedicated just to lighting. And then we got to the hotel room and there were about 10 different lights in that small room. It was quite astounding to have so many different kinds of lights that you could turn on. And of course it makes a big difference in when you wake up in the morning and it's still kind of dark, and then you start to use these lights, and you see that, okay, we understand why this is there. And then Sheikh Hamdi said something very interesting, which connects to something he said now. He said, you know, so now we understand that IKEA is just, because we all have IKEA all around the world, so IKEA is just sort of a little glimpse and a little taste of what they have here. You know, they're just sharing a little bit of their wealth that they have in terms of this love of physical light, at least. And subhanAllah, what IKEA is for everyone is affordability. Mm. It makes this stuff affordable. That's the name of the game when it comes to IKEA, is that you can afford to buy nice things that are reasonable quality, and that's where we went when we first got married. It was IKEA. That's the destination for everyone in Canada. And subhanAllah, that's exactly what Islam has to be. And the rahmah of Islam has to be affordable for everyone. And when you go into that store, you have to feel welcome. Everyone feels welcome in IKEA. In IKEA, you have such poor people sometimes who come in. And you're not treated any differently. You all get to go in there and sit down. And you get to go into a little example of a living room and try it out. Try it on for size. SubhanAllah, that's our mission as Muslims, is to let people have that experience, is to open those doors of rahmah to everyone.
Big heart with two hands.
Yeah, that pillow that they have.
Bring it back.
Yeah, that's exactly. Bring it back if you don't like it. And how many people will even bring it back if it's, and you feel just secure going in there. You feel secure buying from them because they have a return policy that is, maybe there's no deadline on it, I think, anyway. This is Sweden anyway. For the rest of the world, IKEA is what Sweden is. Huh? That's how we understand Sweden. But what a beautiful image it is. What a beautiful way they've expressed the richness of what you have in your culture here. And the question is, have we done that as Muslims? Have we been able to do that? When people see us walking down the street, do they feel, alhamdulillah, mashallah, I feel so peaceful when I see that person. And I know if I were in trouble, that's someone I could go to. When I was in Syria, when I got to study in Syria, the very religious people who I studied with, subhanAllah, I think as you were saying, Aisha, it can be very challenging when you're a young person in a foreign country, and then it's all this ilm, and it's quite serious sometimes, and sometimes I would feel that, oh no, I'm going to miss a prayer, or, you know, I was just learning to pray, learning to do these things on time, and sometimes I'd feel very worried when I was walking around in the street. When I was with my teachers, I would feel so peaceful and secure, and I remember feeling that as long as I'm with them, I know I won't miss a prayer because they take care of those things for me. And I remember then sometimes when I would be in that feeling, that worry, and then I would see one of those people, and they dress a certain way, religious people in Syria, and I would just looking at her, I felt, alhamdulillah, I felt this vibe and this ray of peace reaching my heart. And that's the real prophetic heritage that we need to carry. It's not how many books we've learned or how many things we've memorized. If those things don't change our batin and allow us to also change our lahir to become something beautiful. And so we have to make this rahmah and this light affordable to everyone. We can't make it so difficult that only if you go travel to X, Y, or Z place can you have access to it. That's not why our teachers taught us. They sent us back to be, you know, IKEAs here, little IKEAs everywhere, to say, come in and try this. Come and try it on for size. Don't worry. We won't force you to keep it. If you don't like it, return it. Can we allow Islam to be experimented with like that? Or are we going to say, no, you have to commit to X, Y, and Z before you even try the sweetness of it? We were never like that, even as tradespeople. The Islamic way of doing business is always try it. Try it, and if you don't like it, bring it back. That's alhamdulillah. And if we look at other spiritual traditions, someone was just saying to me when we were in Germany that, subhanallah, look at how Hindus have been able to do that with yoga. You don't have to become Hindu to practice yoga, right? And I'm not saying we don't want people to become Muslim, but I'm saying we have to let people try the beauty of it, make it accessible. And then, like I said, people will end up becoming, they'll end up getting their IKEA card and becoming a lifelong client, as people do, because people appreciate goodness when they find it. And they don't appreciate feeling pressured and feeling obliged to do all these things before they're allowed to taste the sweetness of something. They're looking for the light. And here in this country, as Sheikh Hamdi was saying, there are all these signs, there are all these physical signs in the universe, and they reflect inward meanings. And here we see how people are desperate for this physical light, and they have all these ways of providing it. So what about that inner light? How much longing they must have for that. And so our hearts should break when we think about our not having offered that the way that we should until now. Subhanallah. And as Sheikh Hamdi was saying, our relationship with Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's not a one-way relationship. It's not a one-sided relationship that we are doing all these things to try to follow him, or we are trying to reach him. He's reaching out to us, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from that ghaib, from that other level. And also, even in the physical realm, during his time on this earth, he reached out to us. Every single hadith, every single teaching, he knew that we were coming, and he was speaking to us through his sahaba, radiallahu anhum, radahum. So this relationship,
his dua,
yeah. And why am I talking about this? It's to say that we can get so caught up in the idea of how much I have to do and how much I'm going to do and what am I going to do to make this journey to Allah. And until you start to realize that you are here, as Sheikh Hamdi said, because of that light, because someone already cared for you before you even thought to start any journey. Someone is already taking care of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is managing and loving you to this relationship. And Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was how he shared this wealth with people. He loved them to Islam. He didn't teach them in the way that we think of teaching today. He loved each person where they were at and honored them. And subhanAllah, we have so many examples of that, of the Bedouins who came in and some of them how rough they were. And just that touch of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just that smile, just that acceptance, just that lack of judgment was enough to light up that person's heart. And they were not formally taught. Sometimes it was just a question that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answered. Sometimes it was just his face and its beauty that was enough for them. So he loved people to Islam. And we need to think about that when we talk about da'wah, when we talk about our presence in these countries that need light and that need love, that we need to love people to Islam. We need to have a heart that's full of rahmah. And that rahmah is not going to come from us. We cannot claim that I have so much love that I'm going to love people. This is not how it works. I don't have all the stock that's in IKEA. I can't. I need a big warehouse to provide that. Huh? I can just do the go-between business between that warehouse and whoever seems to be interested. And we have to have that perspective that we are just bringing that rahmah and trying to make it available and affordable. But the source of that rahmah is Sayyidina Muhammad and our Lord. And if we cannot do this work if we're not connected to the source. And what does that mean to be connected? It doesn't mean, as Shaykh Hamdi said, how many salawat you do in a day. It's that reflection that I am loved. I am deeply loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loves me exactly as I am. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We were talking yesterday about what is dhikr. And just think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us that every single thing we do, we should remember, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm doing this in the name of the one who loves me unconditionally. And that's the meaning of rahmah. That's the meaning of rahmah. It's not mercy, as we often see it translated in English. Even for us who speak English, the word mercy is very inaccessible, very unaffordable. We don't use it in our daily language at all. We use it in for example, in if someone is bad and then the judge gives them mercy and just lets them sort of, be have a lesser sentence or something like that. But if we look at how the Prophet ﷺ taught his companions and made this accessible to them, It was in a situation where there was a woman, a mother who had lost her child and was desperately searching for this child. And then, alhamdulillah, she found her child. And at that moment, the Prophet ﷺ directed the attention of his companions and us as well to this image, to this scene taking place. And he said to his companions, do you see this woman and her feeling for this child, her rahmah for this child? Do you think that she would be able to throw this child into the hellfire? And then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even more of this rahmah for you. Now, if we were to translate that into English, what word would you use to describe this scene of a mother who had lost her child and now found that child? What does that look like? What is the feeling that she is expressing as she hugs this child? Love. Right? And we see that in our masajid, we see that in many places where we see baby falls down and the mother scoops up that baby. And we can stop and reflect, that's a mother's love. Look at how that mother's love works. Or sometimes when we're in our masjid and everybody is annoyed with that baby, but the mother is not annoyed. Huh? That's a mother's love. Huh? There's something that, as Shaykh Hamdi said, that mothers feel that nobody else can experience. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ exalted and compared this love of a mother to the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for all of us, all of his creatures. And so the nature of a mother's love, if we stop and take more time to really absorb and think about why did the Prophet ﷺ use this example? What does he want us to drink from this beautiful cup that he gave us? Think about it. What do we know about mothers? We know about mothers that, no matter where their child is at, no matter what their child is doing, even when their child is a bad person, let's say, the one person in the world who will still care for that human being is his or her mother. Even when his wife leaves him and his children say, we hate our dad, we want nothing to do with him, that mother will be the last person standing who will still care for that child, no matter what. And that, subhanAllah, how profound that is, that's how Allah is with us, and even more. But Sayyidina Muhammad, in giving us such a human example, it's telling us that he wants us to make it something tangible for us, that we understand what rahmah is, at least starting on this level. We have to understand it. It can't just be a word that's just floating in the air and we don't really get it. We have to really get it and say, wow, subhanAllah, you mean it's even more than what my mom felt when she first saw me after I was born? What was that moment like for my mom when she first saw me after 9 months? And Allah feels even more, or he looks at me with even more than that love. Or the many times that I did bad things and my mom still kept doing nice things for me. All of these things, we have to reflect on them, because if we don't, we're walking around with a sense that maybe we're not loved. And if you are not sure if you're loved or not, then you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to offer that love to other people. You're not going to be able to say to other people who are hungry for that love, Allah loves you. Allah has rahmah for you. He's Rahman and Rahim. You can't say it with conviction. You can't give someone something you don't have. If you're walking around with empty pockets and someone says, please, I need this money, I'm poor, you're going to just say, I'm sorry, can't help you. And I don't even know where to send you. So we have to fill ourselves up with this, and it's not a bonus, it's not an extra. It's Bismillah Rahman Rahim. It's in every single thing we do. Allah wanted us to think, wow, you're Rahman and you're Rahim. Rahman then is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that describes this one who loves us unconditionally, no matter what we do or don't do. He loves us even when we're doing a sin. That's what it means. Because condition means if you're good, I love you. If you're not good, I don't love you. If you conform to the rules, I love you. If you don't conform, I don't love you. And this is not like that. It's very clearly not like that. And the most traditional mufassirin will tell you that when they do the tafsir of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they will tell you that this rahmah is for all of humanity, including people who don't even believe in Allah. So then what about you? What about you? Why are we living our lives with this kind of zuhud, this kind of diet that we're on where we don't let ourselves eat from that rahmah? What benefit is that? Why are we thinking that that's okay? Yeah, you don't have a right to feel happy that you're loved. And this is across the world. Huh? This is I don't know, but maybe Arabic countries, they know what rahmah means and they use it, so they don't have this block. But in our Western countries, this is the big, I feel this is one of the biggest problems that we're suffering from. It's not the lack of knowledge, it's not those things, but it's the lack of knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you no matter what you're doing. And we often talk about, oh, you know, you have to do these things so that you'll become beloved to Allah. Well, in Arabic, there are like 12 words for love. They're talking about a different one over there. That's a different one. Yeah, of course there are people who Allah loves more, but that's a different kind of love. I'm talking now about the love, the motherly love that is for every single creature, every single human being, and it is a basis. It is a basis, and it never goes away. And we need to build with a firm basis. If we don't, someone said to me yesterday, that's right, in the masjid, if people don't have a firm basis, you can't build anything. Like building a house. If you don't have a foundation, build all you want. Nothing's going to stay. The foundation is this rahmah. It is the essential. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Sayyidina Muhammad says, rahmatan lil alameen, to everyone. Rahmatan lil alameen. And one time a person came to the Prophet and said, you know, I want you to make dua that sure, and Allah will just have rahmah on you and me, or Allah will just let you and me into Jannah. And the Prophet said, La ya habibi. Yeah, so I want you to make this dua. This person said that, oh Allah, give this unconditional love to me and to Sayyidina Muhammad and no one else with us. And the Prophet said, no, you've made the rahmah of Allah too narrow. Allah is so, He includes everybody in that rahmah. And we know that it's by that rahmah that even the biggest sinner still gets to breathe and still gets to drink and eat and is taken care of. That's not a small thing. In these traditional books of tafsir, they quickly move on to, well, that's just for everyone. So let's talk now about ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So ar-Rahim is just for the believers. And when I think about that, we shouldn't rush. We shouldn't rush. It's not a small thing. Just because something is for everyone doesn't mean it's nothing.
Ar-Rahman. Stop.
It's not. We can't say, well, even unbelievers get to breathe, so then breathing is just nothing. No, it's huge. Breathing is huge.
Allah.
Having a cup of water to drink,
Allah,
it's massive.
Allah.
That's like enough for you to fly
Allah
to Allah with. And His rahmah then is being expressed to you in these things. It's clear. We know that from the Mufassirin, that your breath is His rahmah coming to you. It's by His rahmah that you get your breath, so then your breath is His rahmah. It's a manifestation of His rahmah. That means it's so affordable for you to connect. You have your breath all the time. It's so easy. It's so easy. You should never have a moment where you say, I feel so far from Allah. Oh, what kind of talk is that? kind of talk is that? And we hear it all the time. I feel so far from Allah. And that's just your feeling. That's an illusion. So just throw it in the garbage.
I feel cursed even.
I feel abandoned by God.
Ya
Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif. You want to share this? Is that what you want to share with other people?
No.
Broken piece of furniture? Ain't nobody want that. For sure. I want something beautiful. I want some nice IKEA lamp that makes me happy when I look at it. And when it's dark, I put it on. MashaAllah. And I have this bookmark here, SubhanAllah, that is something that Shaykh Hamdi said. And it just happens to be here. When you're walking through the night, Muhammad is a lantern. How many people are walking through the night? Perpetual night. And we have the lantern. And we don't want to light it. Because we feel, no, it's noble to be very sad all the time. Or it's noble to be, I'm such a bad person. That's not noble. That's not it. That's not where it's at. Be happy. When the Kareem gives you something, be happy. That's where it's at. And he's given us so much, and we've got to start sharing it. We've got to start sharing it quickly. Insha'Allah. And we exalt, and we celebrate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our faults. If someone's going to tell me, well, I can't be happy because I have so many faults. Alayni wa rasi. We all have faults. Your faults are themselves a chance to be like, SubhanAllah, how perfect you are, Ya Allah, and how imperfect I am. Thank God you're perfect. And I'm just me. And thank God you forgive. What would I have done if you weren't here to forgive me? What would I have done if you weren't here to cover all those faults? Alhamdulillah. I'm not looking to be perfect. You are perfect. I will never be perfect. And that's great. I'm not looking to change that. I don't want to become the perfect. It's enough for me to know that there is someone who's absolutely perfect. How great. And so how can we do this is to keep looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to not look at ourselves. Because the moment you look at yourself, of course you're going to be sad. That's how it is. You look at Allah, you'll be happy. When we see someone beautiful, alhamdulillah, that's it. I don't need to keep looking in the mirror day and night. Where am I going to get? Let me look at something beautiful. And the most beautiful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep looking there. And when you pray, you know, subhanAllah, don't pray to yourself and don't pray to your prayer. Pray to Allah. Stop thinking about how are my hands and how is this and how is my khushu'ah and how is my tajweed. You're worshipping your prayer when you do that, and you're worshipping yourself. Look at Allah, just khalas. Look at Him and you'll be happy. And the scholars also tell us that as long as you look at what's coming from you to Allah, you'll be sad. The moment you start looking at what's coming from Allah to you, you'll be happy. You'll be happy. And people need happiness today. People need happiness. And that's the last thing I'll finish with, that many, many people, they've gotten used to this kind of diet, this very limiting diet. They don't want to try this food of rahmah. As much as you tell them, they don't want to try it. There's just a block there. For example, I have a friend of mine, mashallah, in Canada, and she has 5 beautiful children. She has her health. They have their health. She has a good husband who is good to her, and he's a religious man. And she feels that she's far from Allah and that Allah doesn't like her. Okay? So I tried to talk to her and I said, okay, where did all this stuff come from then? Where did these kids come from if Allah doesn't like you? Where did this good husband come from? Isn't that a proof for you that he loves you and he's giving you gifts like this? Yani, subhanAllah, if I gave you a cell phone and you dared to tell me I think you don't like me, I'd be like, give that back. What is that? Are you kidding? What do you want me to do? Like, stand on my head to prove it to you? Ya Allah. SubhanAllah, that's like insulting. It's bad adab. Yusra, mashallah, Sister Yusra, she bought me boots, she took us around. Imagine if I told her, I think you don't really like me. Ya Latif, that would be like the height of rudeness. What else does she have to do to show that she really cares for us? What about Allah? What else do you want Him to do before you can be convinced that, wow, subhanAllah, you love me? Huh? So anyway, so we got to this point in the conversation, and then, you know, I don't know, she was still struggling with this, and then I said to her, you know, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rahmah for, and I remember writing it to her, and I said, I wasn't sure if I was going to write Allah has rahmah for all his creatures or for all his servants. So I put servants, I should have put creatures, because she said, yeah, inshallah, I'll become a servant one day. Do you see how she's always finding something? And it's not her, but it's this desire to always refuse that I could be part of Allah's rahmah. So this is... Subhanallah. Everybody enters Jannah except one who doesn't want to. Yeah. By Allah's rahmah. So why am I talking about this? May Allah bless that sister. May Allah make it easy for her. It's not to make a joke out of her situation, but to illustrate to you how deep that resistance is, sometimes inside ourselves, to be joyful with Allah's rahmah and to accept His rahmah. So that in essence, it's not that He's not sending down this love all the time. That's not the question, is, oh Allah, please give me your rahmah. Although we do say that, and that's good to say. But the real issue is, oh Allah, allow me to open my heart to that. Allow me to accept that. Allow me to feel it, to see it, to celebrate it, and then to thank you for it, and then to share it. Allow that to happen. Because as Mawlana Rumi says, your job is not to learn to love Allah or earn His love, but to take down all the barriers that you put up against love. Just take down the barriers. That's the work that we need to do. So, what I want to finish with then is to say that what I ended up saying to this friend of mine is that, look, even if you don't think that you deserve to feel this rahmah and this joy, at least do it for other people. At least do it for your children. At least... And you think it's okay to suffer. You're fine with suffering. You got used to suffering. You got used to being miserable your whole life and just praying out of misery and just doing it because you have sheer discipline. But at least for your children, try to work on this concept of accepting Allah's rahmah. And I will tell us here, at least for the sake of these people here, who we live in their midst and they're looking for that love, at least for their sake, start to work on this acceptance of Allah's rahmah. If you don't love yourself enough to do that for yourself, do it for them. Every time you want to go and do some tafakkur or ibadah, think about, subhanAllah, let me do this out of my duty to serve other people. Let me try to get some of this rahmah, this feeling of rahmah, so that when I go out, I can smile at people with a rahmah smile. That's coming from there. And they'll get it, because it's coming from, it's not coming from me, because I have such a nice personality, or I want to impress them because I'm Muslim. Or they probably hate my hijab, so I better smile so that they know I'm not oppressed. No, that's all from your nafs. It has to be a rahmah smile from Ar-Rahman, and from the one who is rahmatan lil'alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we recognize how much is coming from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we live, and all the blessings we have are because of him. And because of the what he did for us. What do we say in the Qasida? Sallu ala man bihi?
Fuzna.
And so many of them. Send blessings on the one in whose himaya we live, under whose protection we live. And because of all the things that he did to be that connector between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we live in that rahmah today. We live in those blessings today. And so to look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then in that way of feeling that it's not me who is trying to reach him, but he already has reached me. He's reached me and he sent me all these gifts. And I want everyone to be able to have that joy. I want everyone to celebrate that beauty. I just wanted to tell you that we have something that Sheikh Hamdi established. It's a kind of, we call it a competition, but it's really just a project to invite people to experience this rekindling of a relationship between us and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's called Letters to the Beloved. And we ask people to write a letter to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as Habib Kadhim says in one of his talks, that every single believer has love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's already there in our hearts. It's not really something that a sheikh or, you know, a qasida comes and puts inside you. What those qasidas, those songs that we hear in the Mawlid, or a poem, or even Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what it's doing is it's stirring. And Habib Kadhim talks about it, it's like stirring the sugar in a teacup. The sugar is all at the bottom, and when you stir it, the whole cup becomes sweet, right? And sometimes you don't know. When you don't know that there's sugar, sometimes I've done that before. I drank the whole cup of tea and then I discovered there was sugar at the bottom. Don't drink your tea bitter like that. Stir it. and then you'll have a joyful cup the whole way through, not just a whole bunch of sugar suddenly at the bottom that you can't digest. So this idea of writing the letter, it really, we've seen how it's just stirring that cup in so many people. The letters that we received are just amazing, amazing. You would say it's the highest poetry because of the feelings that emerge. So much wealth. And so why is it a really beautiful Dawa project? First of all, it's a very good reflection project for each of us to sit down and say, what would I say to the Prophet? The things that will come out of you, you'll be amazed. Sometimes it's a complaint about missing him and about how life is without him next to us here. Sometimes it's a gratitude. Sometimes it's a joy. You'll see. You'll have to discover what comes out. And then it's such a great tool to invite other people in, other Muslims, young people, teenagers, to invite them to have this experience, because it's a profound experience. Everybody says that wow, I never knew I felt that way about the Prophet. And what we want to show people is that you do feel that way. Stop beating yourself up and saying, I'm not good, I'm not a good Muslim. You have these beautiful things inside you, and here's the proof. You yourself offered the proof. We want it to be something like that, so that inshallah that letter will also testify for people, inshallah, and it will also spread the light, and non-Muslims will be able to read those letters. They're all up on our website, and discover who the Prophet is for us. So I invite you to be part of that, and maybe if you have so many translators here and people who obviously have a very good relationship with language, so maybe we could even accept letters in Swedish if that's something you wanted to do, and you know, one of you could be the one to evaluate them, right? Because our problem is that we don't understand Swedish, so we couldn't open the door until now, but if we were to work together, then we can, inshallah, open this door wider and wider.
ارحم رحمة واسعة يا ارحم الراحمين رب العالمين احي قلوبنا وانهض بنا اليك فانا لا نهوض لنا الا بك ولا مطلب لنا الا فيك احي قلوب اولادنا وذرياتنا ارحم الراحمين رب العالمين وارحم اهل هذه البلاد يا ارحم الراحمين رحمة واسعة يا نعم مولى نعم نصير يا نعم مولى نعم نصير اللهم املأ قلوبنا بمحبتك والمحبوبية لديك ارحم الراحمين رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا محبين لك محبوبين عندك ارحم الراحمين رب العالمين اللهم يا حي يا قيوم اذقنا حلاوة الايمان اذقنا طعم منى جاتك أذقنا طعم المحبوبية لديك نعم مولى نعم نصير اللهم يا أرحم الراحمين إن رحمتك وسعت كل شيء ومحبتك ظاهرة في كل شيء يا أرحم الراحمين رب العالمين فاجعلنا يا أرحم الراحمين من الذين يتذوقون تلك المحبة ويتطعمون تلك المحبة ويجدون تلك المحبة اللهم اجعلنا من أهل الوجد ولا تجعلنا من أهل الفقر اللهم اجعلنا من أهل الغنى ولا تجعلنا من أهل الفقر يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا من أهل الإيمان ولا تجعلنا من أهل الكفر اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين يا حي يا قيوم يا نور يا نور يا نور يا نور نور بصائرنا يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين وبارك في نور أبصارنا وبارك في أسماعنا وبارك في قواتنا أبدا ما أحيتنا واجعل الجنة مقلبنا يا أرحم الراحمين رب العالمين ولا تجعل النار مصيرنا وأصلح أحوالنا وأحوال ذرياتنا وأحوال أمة حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من شر قرض المغاربة ما أصلحت بأحوال عبادك الصالحين يا الله يا نعم المولى نعم المصير إخواننا هؤلاء وأخواتنا هؤلاء أنت عالم بأحوالهم وأنت تراهم يا أرحم الراحمين تناظر إليهم يا أرحم الراحمين رب العالمين اللهم أكرمنا وأكرمهم اللهم ارحمنا وارحمهم اللهم اصلحنا واصلحهم اللهم نورنا ونورهم يا حي يا قيوم أيدنا وأيدهم وانصرنا وانصرهم بنصرك العزيز يا أرحم الراحمين رب العالمين صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا حبيب محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد نورك الساري ومددك الجاري واجمعنا به في كل أطوار وعلى آله وصحبه النور اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد نورك الساري ومددك الجاري واجمعنا به في كل أطوار وعلى آله وصحبه النور اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد نورك الساري ومددك الجاري واجمعنا به في كل أطوار وعلى آله وصحبه النور اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد نورك الساري ومددك الجاري واجمعنا به في كل أطوار وعلى آله وصحبه النور اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد نورك الساري ومددك الجاري واجمعنا به في كل أطوار وعلى آله وصحبه النور اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد نورك الساري ومددك الجاري واجمعنا به في كل أطوار وعلى آله وصحبه النور اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد نورك الساري ومددك الجاري واجمعني به في كل أطوار وعلى آله وصحبه النور اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد نورك الساري ومددك الجاري واجمعنا به في كل الأطوار وعلى آله وصحبه النور. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد. نورك الساري ومددك الجاري واجمعنا به في كل الأطوار وعلى آله وصحبه النور. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد. نورك الساري ومددك الجاري واجمعني به في كل الأطوار واجمع لي فيه كل أوطاري وعلى آله وصحبه النور. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا أول الأولين يا أخ الآخرين ذا القوة المتين رحمة ساكين يا أرحم الراحمين. صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله.
الحمد لله.